Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, Ireland really is bracing itself for Donald Trump's big announcement on tariffs this week, with the Taoiseach Simon Harris due to speak to a number of European leaders this morning. Now, the Taoiseach had a phone call with the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen yesterday, where he raised Ireland's particular focus on the food, drinks and pharma industries. In a moment, I'll speak to Martin Hayden, who's the Minister for Agriculture, Food, Fisheries and the Marine. But first, I'm joined on the line by Alan Barrett, the Director of the Economic and Social Research Institute. Alan, good morning and thanks for being with us. I mean, we want to talk to you about the real concerns here for Ireland. We've had an economy that has boomed in a globalised world. We are very reliant on that model. I mean, how big of an impact do you believe these tariffs will have on us?
Well, firstly, good morning, Claire. I think like all economists and commentators, I'm as concerned as anybody else. So I think we've had sort of significant discussion about this now over the weekend and late last week. So I think everybody understands the nature of the Irish economy, the very globalised nature of the economy, the fact that our model of economic development has all been about bringing in, attracting in foreign capital and then exporting those goods. All of this goes back to T.K. Whittaker, of course, who was the founder of the ESRI, so we're very sort of conscious of that economic thinking. But what the ESRI has tried to do is sort of go just beyond the sort of, you know, talking about the bad things that might happen and actually try to quantify it. So my colleague Paul Egan in particular, about a week and a half ago, this was work that was done jointly with the Department of Finance. Looking at the sort of plans that Donald Trump is talking about, the estimate that we were putting on that is that you could have an impact on growth of about sort of, you know, 3% per annum. So economic growth would be 3% lower than it otherwise would be. Now, to put that figure in context, if you look at sort of projections from people like the Department of Finance over a medium-term projection perspective, growth often looks to be around sort of 3%. So if you thought your economy was going to grow by about 3% for the next 3 or 4 years, and then all of a sudden you're going to knock that 3% off, it means then you could be looking at a situation in which the economy simply does not grow for the next number of years. And that has all sorts of implications then in terms of governmental plans for welfare increases, tax cuts, and all these sort of things. Mm-hmm. Just to add one other point to this, I mean, the economic models, the type of things that the models that the Institute uses, and again, we've worked collaboratively with colleagues in Britain where they sort of give us a more global overview of the sort of things that are going to happen. These models work well when you've got like relatively small changes happening. But the problem here, of course, is that what Donald Trump is doing is quite a large and sort of fundamental change. So we're a little bit worried that our models might be underestimating the full effects. Okay. So, I mean, generally, there's no getting away from this. This is not good news.
Right. The impact on corporation tax, of course, will be very significant. Mm. I mean, we rely on a lot on corporation tax. Yeah. It's what has, you know, provided and supplied our boom over the last number of years. What do you specifically say about how that figure will be impacted?
Well, of course, the corporation tax figure could be impacted from a number of different directions. So if we just sort of stay with the tariffs now, and again, let's just put that corporation tax figure in context. About a quarter of Irish tax revenues at the moment come from corporation tax. Okay, I'm going to call them sort of more normal European Union countries. They might get about 5 or 10% of their tax revenue from corporation tax. So the Irish number, sort of 25%, is just, you know, off the scale. Take the tariffs then to begin with. Some people are arguing that, well, if Trump imposes the 25% tariffs, okay, on pharma, that maybe the pharmaceutical companies will try and absorb some of that impact. And, in some ways, this is put forward as a way that maybe the effect on Ireland won't be as bad. But the problem is that if the pharma companies were to do that, obviously that will substantially reduce their profits. Okay, and of course, if their profits are reduced, that means then their tax contribution in Ireland is going to be reduced as well. So the tariffs could have an impact, but looking sort of more broadly, again, the Commerce Secretary, and again, well understood, Mr. Lubnik is talking about the, you know, Ireland and talking in terms of tax scams. So there could be much more direct a tax on the Irish corporate tax largesse, if I can put it like that. And again, back to the point I was making earlier on about the SRI providing some sort of estimates based on our models, the tax effects could be much more dramatic than anything we're estimating so far. And while the government has, you know, tried a little bit over the last number of years to put some of the money away in accounts, and they've also sort of moved in the direction of having one-off payments rather than, you know, baking in current expenditure increases, it is still the case. There was a really scary line in the budget last October from Jack Chambers, which very, very few people picked up on. And Minister Chambers actually did make reference to the fact that if we didn't have the windfall taxes, okay, these are the sort of, let's call it, you know, the excess largesse, Ireland would have been running a considerable public finance deficit. Okay, so yes, efforts were made to put the money aside, but not at the level at all to fully insulate us from the sort of difficulties that we're now looking at.
Okay, we're used in this country in recent years, when we run up against a problem, we spend our way out of it. Like take COVID, for example, or higher energy costs when people were given money towards their energy bills. Are you saying we won't be able to do that now if this comes to pass?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I think one of the, again, I've used the phrase already, more normal countries, I mean, our next door neighbours in the UK are a good illustration, really, of the difficulty you run into when your economy simply is not really growing. And if you think about what the Labour government in the UK have had to deal with, you know, the energy allowances for pensioners, now they're looking at sort of cutting welfare for people on disability. I mean, sort of extraordinary things that we wouldn't really have thought of. But it is, again, back to that notion, if the economy simply does not grow over the next number of years, your tax base is not growing at all. So all those promises that were being made in the election, they will simply have to be put on hold. Mm-hmm. But the worry is always that, and back to the point I was making a moment ago when Minister Chambers identified, you know, this underlying deficit. The horrible thing about Irish economic management over the last 40 or 50 years is that we have tended to run the public finance in such a way that we've, you know, had the foot on the accelerator during good times, and then when the bad times kicked in, we've often had to cut back on public expenditure, whereby then we actually exacerbated the difficulties that were there. It hasn't been as bad on this occasion as on other occasions, but nevertheless, I think for quite a long time, a lot of economists and others were sort of urging the government to really, really be cautious about that windfall, mm-hmm. and we're maybe about to find out the wisdom or otherwise of the last number of years.
Alan, thank you very much. Alan Barrett there from the ESRI. And as I said, the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, is here. And thanks for being here, Martin. This is bad, isn't it?
Good morning, Claire, and to your listeners. Yes, look, we absolutely would not like to be in this position. That's a fair comment to make. Ultimately, tariffs and interrupting the free trade that we've got used to with our close trading partners like the US hurts everybody. It hurts Irish companies and our consumers, but also is going to hurt American companies and their consumers too. And that's why we use every opportunity open to us to engage.
I suppose just listening to Alan, you know, you really question now the wisdom of relying on corporation taxes. I mean, he said a number of times, when you compare us to normal countries, I mean, we're at 25% of our total tax take and other countries are at 10%. So if they pull the rug out from under that, we're going to feel it intensely.
No, so it's not that we depended on it. You know, we have two sovereign wealth funds with over 16 billion euro in them. These were the rainy day funds that, you know, certain members in the Dáil ridiculed us for and wanted to raid the kitty on in previous times. We have those. So that what I experienced in 2011 as a first-time TD, where we had to cut back on the capital expenditure that Alan has talked about, that we won't be in that position, that we will be in a position to continue the investment in our key infrastructure and investing in our people, the length and breadth of the country, should we get this really significant economic shock. The other side of it as well is these projections, and where we're looking at is if the tariffs are in place for a long time. There is, you know, we have to wait until Wednesday and the 2nd of April to see exactly what President Trump announces. We know it won't be good. We know the EU is working on a counter list. We've been engaging very closely, the Taoiseach, with Commissioner Sefcovic, through his public consultation process. I've had Irish agri-food companies making their individual applications or submissions to highlight how they would be exposed should certain measures be on a certain counter list. But we recognise the EU has to come with a counter list. Mm-hmm. We welcome the fact that they've taken a time to step back from the 2nd of April. We'll wait now till probably the middle of April to publish that list. But they need to do that. Not that we all want to be in this position for a long period of time, but that there will be negotiation here. And when the negotiations happen, we need the EU to be able to do that from a position of strength.
But how do we protect our farmers in all of this who are really exposed, aren't they?
Our farmers or agri-food businesses, you know, the US is a really important trading partner for Ireland. We exported 2 billion euros worth of agri-food products last year. And of that 2 billion euro, about 490 million euro alone was Irish butter. The massive success that Kerrygold is having, the second biggest, strongest position in the US market. If you take that, our beverages sector is up at 900 million with 434 million euro of that being our Irish distilleries and our Irish whiskey. Many of those distilleries haven't grown, expanded and established in recent years in regional parts of Ireland, the length and breadth of rural Ireland as well.
So what happens then, say on Wednesday, these tariffs are announced? Are we talking about shipments on their way over to the United States that will suddenly be far higher cost when it comes to what the consumer pays?
So first of all, it depends with what the US come with. And then obviously there will be counter lists, but the space has been left there for negotiation to happen after the second. I myself will lead an agri-trade mission.
What space do you mean now?
Well, in terms of after the 2nd of April, already the Taoiseach has had a call with Secretary for Commerce Lutnick, and those engagements will continue.
Mm-hmm. But don't know. The tariffs, when they're announced, could well be immediate. They could be from midnight on Wednesday,
right? It could be, or there might be a time lag. And if there's a time lag, like the EU has flagged there, it could be with a view to having detailed negotiations and ongoing contact. Our job here is to highlight to our friends across the water in the US that we think this is a bad idea, that this will hurt them as well as hurt us, and that, international trade has become so much more sophisticated and integrated now that it's not as simple as has been portrayed to say, what comes here can be done in America overnight.
I don't know what was said here last week, though, Martin. Like, if Donald Trump didn't listen to the US car lobby, he's not going to listen to anybody. I mean, they are a huge and powerful lobby, and he's just ignored them.
Yeah, and look, what we have to do is control what we can control. At the end of the day, Donald Trump will do what he's going to do, and we have to be ready and agile to respond to that, to highlight where the impacts of those interventions may well happen, and from an EU perspective, to make sure that our EU colleagues are aware of the particular vulnerabilities on the Irish side. But ultimately here, the response will be an EU-wide one, and we will be at the heart of that. But in those negotiations with the US, in our ongoing engagement with them, as these situations develop and work out, we will be there highlighting the integrated nature of how we have so much mutually beneficial investment between Ireland and the US. Mm. We're the sixth largest source of foreign direct investment into the US.
Yeah, but we told him that on St. Patrick's Day, and he doesn't care. I mean, he wants to go ahead with this. What do you want to see on the counter list?
So what I do see is April 2nd, Liberation Day, as President Trump is calling that on Wednesday, is very much his communication to a domestic audience. And we will be directly impacted by what he says and what decisions are made. But there is that communication piece with the American audience, whereas the reality could well be very different. They have a cost of living crisis in the US already. This could exacerbate that. I think it's guaranteed to exacerbate that. Mm-hmm. And what we will do is stand united, continue to engage with our colleagues across Europe, as I've done at the AgFish Council meetings in Brussels, and my colleagues across the government are doing the same, highlighting their points, that we make sure the coordinated response from the EU puts us in a strong position.
I just see the New York Times in the last few minutes reporting that the White House now is weighing up helping farmers as Donald Trump escalates the trade war. I suppose that shows you the direction of travel. If they're looking at helping their farmers, it means they're sticking with the plan.
Well, they're going to have to help their farmers, because they're going to hurt their farmers. They're going to hurt their own consumers. They're going to hurt their own companies. Like, we have over 200,000 American people being employed by Irish companies, 770 Irish companies out there. And when I'm out there next week, I'll be meeting many of these Irish companies, highlighting to the American public the really significantly mutually beneficial investment that Irish companies make in America by buying and sourcing local goods over there as well. And we'll continue to highlight that case.
But if he's helping his farmers, how can we help people here? Because you mentioned the Rainy Day Fund, but will we have the expansive COVID-style supports for businesses, for farmers this time round?
It's too early to say, because we're predicting on What will the US do? What will the impact be on our economy? How long will those changes last for? A lot of the fallout from changes that could be announced on Wednesday could be more medium to longer term.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this feels very akin to Brexit all over again, where, you know, a very significant trading partner of Ireland's is on a very significant policy change trajectory that will hurt us.
It doesn't feel like 2008 or 2011.
No, it feels more like Brexit to me, because I can see that the impact of these policy changes are going to hurt America the same way they're going to hurt their trading partners. And ultimately, we'll have to get to a point here when that realization lands, that we look back and identify and recognize the positives that has been this trading relationship between our two countries for so long.
We take that example of the butter. I mean, you can imagine the shipment of butter going over, ready to be sold in American supermarkets, and nobody wants it because it's too expensive to buy.
Well,
that could happen by the end of this week.
Well, the point is, Kerrygold is a premium product already. It is not the cheapest butter on the shelf in America, yet has massive market share. And there's plenty of consumers in the US would be very upset at the fact that product that they really like and they purchase is going to get a lot more expensive because of decisions that Donald Trump makes. They may buy less volume, but ultimately it will still have that position on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And look, we will continue to work across all sectors. How the EU responds is also important, and that's what we've been doing in highlighting the fact that if you take butter as an example, 59,000 tonnes of the EU butter exported last year, 51,000 tonnes of that was Irish.
Okay, Martin, thank you very much for coming in. That's the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden. In the last few minutes, a French court has convicted the far-right leader Marine Le Pen on charges of embezzlement of public funds over a fake job scam at the EU Parliament. Now, that ruling could derail her 2027 presidential hopes. We'll bring you more on that as we get it. Ed Conway is with us, economics and data editor from Sky News. Ed, good morning.
Hi, Claire.
Thank you for being with us. Now, we wanted to talk more to you about what's coming at us here, particularly in Ireland and across the European Union from the United States when this announcement is made on Wednesday. The ECB President Christine Lagarde saying this morning that this should be the start of a march to independence for the continent, despite the short-term disruption it's going to cause. Is that an overly optimistic view, or can you see opportunity for Europe in all of this?
Well, I mean, you know, it's optimistic in as much as this is, tariffs are inherently destructive. So when you're essentially throwing sand in the wheels of commerce, which is what tariffs basically do, that raises the price for basically everyone. And sometimes, you know, the point that Donald Trump has been making is he doesn't think the global trading system is working. And actually, a lot of people would agree with him, but this is a very radical way of trying to confront it. And I mean, his point is, listen, everyone has tried to deal with this stuff before. You've got these massive deficits, massive surpluses, China with this dominant position, lots of Europe and the US deindustrializing. And, you know, this is his response to it. But this way of dealing with it means that, you know, it will everyone will end up paying a price in the short run, at least. So American consumers above all else, because it means that all of those goods, whether it's, you know, Irish butter or indeed products from the UK or from Germany, will get more expensive. But that's Christine Lagarde's point. I think you could see a way in which this forces or encourages countries outside of the US to seek new kind of trading relationships. So I think that's the kind of the flip side of this. It could be that Donald Trump encourages countries to get closer to China and other trading partners that they were maybe moving further away from, because it's cheaper to trade with them now than it is with the US, and that will have a big difference. So it's quite imponderable, though. I think that's the main kind of point to make. And your previous interviewees will kind of made that point to some extent as well. This is chaotic, and we've very rarely seen this degree of chaos before. And I mean, as the minister says, you know, one analogy is Brexit, but it's worth just remembering, you know, Brexit was definitely a roller coaster, and I know, you know, like you having reported through it.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't, tariffs weren't ever actually imposed in Brexit. You know, need we forget, obviously there's friction that's been introduced that we all know about from all of the customs checks, but actual tariffs, that was avoided. Whereas in this case, the tariffs are being implemented. And you know, you were asking about, you know, ships that are going across the Atlantic. I was talking to a steelmaker in the UK just recently. They had a ship going over because obviously, so he's imposed tariffs on steel and aluminium. It's like the one thing that has already actually been imposed, and those tariffs have been collected. They had a ship going over the Atlantic to a port in on the east coast of the US carrying stainless steel. It was kind of $12 million worth. And there was a storm on the Atlantic. And as a result, the ship came in late. And as a result, it missed the deadline. And as a result, they ended up having to pay £3 million in tariffs. And that's a lot of money. It's very chaotic. And how do you plan for that? And the answer is it is very difficult to plan for it. And that chaos means everyone is a little bit worse off in the short run.
And your consumer then at the end of that will be expected ultimately to make up the shortfall. Now, it would seem, and I'm really interested to get your view on this, that this time round, Donald Trump doesn't care about market reactions. Do you agree? We lost Ed? Oh, we seem to have...
Oh, hello.
Sorry, Ed, we lost your line there. Go ahead.
Well, the point is just it's a degree of chaos that we don't have much experience of dealing with, and I think when you don't have that kind of experience, then it does feel like a kind of scarier world, and we don't know. I mean, to add to that degree of chaos, I think even people in the White House don't know what Donald Trump is about to announce on Wednesday, and when you've got to that degree of uncertainty, it's no surprise that markets are all over the place right now. So, unfortunately. That is the world we're in right now, and he would say it's a kind of economic emergency that needs to be dealt with. But for all of those trading partners, of course, Ireland's high up and among that list, it is unsettling times.
Mm-hmm. And Keir Starmer is still taking this wait and see approach, hoping maybe to benefit off the back of this row between the EU and the United States.
Yeah, well, I mean, the UK's kind of trump card, as it were, excuse the pun, is that we have deindustrialised quite a lot, and we don't send that much stuff. We do, like that export of steel. We do send some stuff to the US, but we are quite unusual amongst industrial nations in having more or less balanced trade with America. I mean, the main overarching point here is. Donald Trump is kind of looking through a list of the countries that have big trade surpluses with the US. In other words, countries that export much more stuff to the US than the US sends to them. And he's going through that list. There are lots of European countries among them, including Ireland, particularly kind of pharmaceuticals and tech and things. But even more so, places like China and like Germany. And he's going through that list and thinking, well, I don't like that. I don't like the look of this. He just doesn't like trade deficits where America is sucking in more goods from overseas than it sends out there. And the UK doesn't really have a trade surplus with America. We're kind of more or less balanced. And I think that when I've watched kind of Keir Starmer both at the Oval Office and in the comments he's made to the president, he has been drumming in that point as saying, listen, we don't have a surplus with you, so it's different for us. Yeah, kind of. But whether that works or not, again, is anyone's bet, because they had a phone call just about it last night. And then after that phone call, I don't know if the two things are connected, but Donald Trump said, well, I might just impose this 10% tariff on everyone, which is another level of tariff. So you've got the reciprocal tariffs, you've got the tariffs on particular types of goods, like the car tariffs, which is coming in. You've got the steel tariffs, you've got the tight tariffs on China. So there's a whole smorgasbord of different types of tariffs. We don't know which ones he's favouring at any given time. We don't know how long they're going to last. And as a result, for anyone, like even if you're trying to take advantage of this, it's kind of maddening, because let's say you want to build a steel plant or an aluminium plant in America. Right now, actually, that makes lots of sense because there's 25% tariffs on all of the imports. But can you really rely on those 25% tariffs being around in 2 years' time? Because it takes 2 years to build these plants.
Yep, and that's,
at least. So,
that's the argument that's made about, whether pharma would move back there as well from this country, for example. You know, how stable is it in the United States? Ed, it's been great to have you with us. Thank you very much for joining us. Ed Conway, Economics and Data Editor with Sky News. Now, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the 5-minute EV battery and chargers that the Chinese car maker BYD has unveiled. But next, we're going to get the latest on those tragic road deaths that happened over the weekend.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.